Pizza House. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Basketball. Excited to talk with a guest in about 15 minutes or so. Really proud that she represents Michigan and represents, obviously, her family name. But what an effort and what a champion she is. Cindy O'Feely will join us here shortly. And we're hoping to get a Tulsa perspective here in a moment with one of two people. We've got calls out to J.R. Rolo. He's their color analyst for the Tulsa Golden Hurricane basketball program, and Bruce Howard, their play-by-play voice. So we're working on connecting with them. Fortunately for me and you, we've got a national champion in the house. Terry Mills won it back in 1989 with his crew, and the only championship that Michigan has ever boasted in basketball. What is the biggest, this seems so cliche, what's the biggest difference between the regular season and this time of year for athletes, do you think? Can you put it in words?
I can't. You know, I mean, this is kind of, I guess, is built for little schools to beat big schools. That's the best way to put it, giant killers. And everyone seems to root for the smaller team. So I think that's the best way to put it in words. And everything, only thing you have to worry about is the opponent in front of you, and you never know who you're going to play next. And I kind of remember that run we had in 1989, and as kids, we had no idea what it took to get there. You know, I mean, that'll be a goal of yours, but we didn't know that it only took six games to get there. You know, we had no idea. It was just like, well, who we play next? What? It's only eight teams left.
That could be a good thing, though.
Yeah, that could be a good thing. So for us not knowing, that was a good thing.
Well, J.R. Rolo is hoping that Tulsa can make themselves a run, and he's the color analyst for their radio broadcast, like my partner Terry Mills, and he joins us on the line right now. J.R., thank you for your time. How are you tonight?
Doing great, thank you.
Are you surprised, because some people, you've seen the reaction when Tulsa was one of the Final Four to get in. Were you surprised that they got in, and if not, why, and if so, why?
Well, I was a little bit surprised based on what all the analysts have been saying, and I think the program was surprised. You know, the body of work that they had done prior to the tournament, we felt pretty good about it going into the tournament, but then the first round loss to Memphis and the way that it happened, I think everybody kind of felt like we'd be at the NIT.
Yes, J.R., Terry Mills, color analyst. Question I have is, how Frank Lafe turned that team around in such fast fashion? How did he go about doing that?
Well, honestly, I was out of town from Orlando. My wife and I kind of took the long way home and stopped at the beach when we were watching the selection show. So they didn't have a watch party at Tulsa, but I know they called an immediate team meeting. They had a lot of meetings last night, kind of coordinating everything and just making the plans. But I really don't think they had anticipated getting into the field.
What is the strength of the Golden Hurricane, do you think? I mean, what kind of team is it?
Well, I think they're definitely a guard-powered team. They have, you know, obviously James Woodard, who's first team all-conference, Shaquille Harrison, that was second team all-conference, Woodard being more of a shooter and Harrison being more of a slasher. But then the emergence of Pat Burt this year, a junior college transfer, who's played a little bit of the two through the four spot, but he can really shoot it. So the strength is by far the guards for Tulsa. As a matter of fact, they usually only play one big man and usually about a four-guard rotation, but Pat Burt will play the four spot sometimes. But very quick team, gets the ball up and down the court, and can really shoot it at times.
Is it a typical Frank Haith club, or are they unique in other ways?
I'm not super familiar with his clubs before Tulsa. He inherited most of these guys when he came here. Danny Manning recruited most of these guys. I think you guys are probably aware that they have nine seniors, seven of which played quite a bit. That's pretty rare in Division I basketball for sure, especially in today's day and age. So, I think Frank just adjusts to what he has. We've been real pleased in Tulsa with the job that he's done and stepping up to the American Conference two seasons ago was a huge step from Conference USA, make no mistake about it. So playing people like Cincinnati and UConn night in and night out has been a huge transition. But to win 20 games and go to postseason both years now is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, J.R., 6-4 in your last 10 games, and a couple of those games were by double digits. Is that a concern of this ball club at this point in time?
Well, I think the last game's a concern for sure. It was just a few weeks ago that they traveled down to Dallas and beat a really good SMU team at their place in front of the former president. So they're very capable at times. They beat UConn on their home floor and Cincinnati this year. And so there's times that Tulsa plays extremely well and plays with experience, and then there's times when they don't, honestly. And, you know, I've watched every game they've played this year, and I'm not sure what to expect, but if they come out and do what they can do and play the way they can, I'm sure it'll be a good ball game.
How do we know they're playing well? How do we know it's their type of style? what's the DNA there?
Well, I think the way that they play defense, I think Tulsa's defined by their defense. They fly around. You know, they're changing defenses constantly, which I'm sure you guys can see from the film. They're quick. You know, they're small and quick, and that could create matchup problems for a lot of people. And they attack the basket extremely well. And when they're shooting the ball from the perimeter and attacking, makes it very difficult for teams to guard them, as we've seen in a lot of games this year. They thoroughly handled Wichita State at home this year early in the season, and that was before the injury to the good guard. His name escapes me right now, but
Van Fleet.
So they're very Van Fleet. So they're very, very capable.
When you look, have you had a chance to look at Michigan? Do you follow Michigan from afar? What is your take on the Wolverines from afar?
I've always been a big fan of Coach Boeheim, and I grew up in Illinois, so I'm a Big Ten fan. So yes, I've watched them quite a bit and been a big fan of the Wolverines over the years. And just, you know, unfortunate injury to LeVert, but it looks like they've rebounded well and started playing extremely well here of late. So I've been researching them as I'm going to be on the radio Wednesday night. So I've been starting to do my research.
Yeah, Tulsa relies on turning the ball over, where Michigan doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. And you spoke about them changing defenses. Is that one of the things you think they would probably be relying on, is forcing a lot of turnovers?
Well, they try to force turnovers. Tulsa takes care of the ball usually extremely well. They didn't in their last game, but they're one of the leaders in the country, in the top, or at least in the American Conference, in taking care of the basketball, turnover to assist ratio. So they've done a good job of that. They have been able to force turnovers. That's always their game plan, is to try to let their defense create their offense. So there's no question about that they'll be out there trying to create havoc. But, you know, they play man, they play zone, they can half-court trap. I've seen a little bit of full-court trap. I think what defines Tulsa is they just kind of check out their opponent and make their game plan. And sometimes it works and the matchups work for them, and sometimes it doesn't.
Do you get the sense this is a team, and I'll use this cliche, plays with a chip on its shoulder now because of the numerous doubters and non-believers out there?
You know, I haven't been around them much since it happened. I think they feel very fortunate that they got in. They're really good kids. I mean, Tulsa is an excellent institution. I played there back from 92 to 96. There's a high graduation rate. It's a private school. You can't just recruit anybody to the University of Tulsa. These kids are academic scholars. Shaq Harrison was just named the American Conference Scholar Athlete of the Year, you know, along with being second team all conference. So they're good kids. They understand the big picture. I'm sure they respect Michigan greatly, the history there, the program, the coaches, the players. So I'm sure they're going to come out and, you know, try to make a good showing, as most people in America at this point don't think they should be there, but I anticipate they're going to play extremely hard and give Michigan all they want.
JR, that Tulsa fan base, how will they travel to Dayton, Ohio? You think you'll get a big turnout as far as the fan base is concerned?
Well, keep in mind, there's under 4,000 undergrads every year, so the alumni base pales in comparison to you all schools. So yes, they will travel pretty well, but for Tulsa standards, you know, pretty well is not up to Michigan standards for sure. There's just not as many of us, but there will be a good following, and Tulsa's had great tradition. You know, I was fortunate enough to play on some teams for Tubby Smith there. Bill Self obviously had good teams there. Doug Wojcik had a good run there for years, obviously going back to the 80s with Nolan Richardson. So they're proud of their basketball in Tulsa. They have a great arena. They're in a great conference. And they will support the Hurricane.
Do you still keep in touch with Tubby Smith? We saw him, of course, at Minnesota here in the Big Ten, and now he just was named Coach of the Year in the Big 12 at Texas Tech.
I do. You know, he's coached a lot of players since me, so I'm not one of those guys that just rings him up all the time. But we were fortunate enough a couple years ago to have a 20-year Sweet 16 reunion, and he was coaching at Tech but made the point to come back. And one of the guys I played with for a long time named Pooh Williamson is on his staff. And so we all keep in touch the best we can. I mean, he's got quite a coaching tree, a lot of the guys I played for, one of them being Shea Seals, that is on Frank Hayes' staff at Tulsa. But we all played for Tubby, and we definitely keep in touch and very proud of what he's been able to accomplish down at Texas Tech, because he's a great human being and a great coach to boot.
JR, we appreciate the time very much. We look forward to meeting you in person on Wednesday in Dayton. Have a safe trip there, okay?
We're looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for the call.
All right, you got it. Thank you so much. That's JR Rolo. He's the color analyst for the Tulsa Radio Network. When we come back, we'll visit with a national champion representing the University of Michigan. What an outstanding story she has. She's in person here inside Pizza House, 618 Church Street. And this is Inside Michigan Basketball on the IMG Sports Network. Pretty privileged right now. Sitting between two national champs, one in basketball and one in track. And I got to be honest with you, one's a hell of a lot better looking than the other. No offense, T. Love you. And I do. I love you. But Cindy Ofili is a national champion and now owns Michigan school records in five different categories. She was part of a Michigan contingent that had 12 All-American honors this past weekend. 12. Think about that for a moment. That is mind-blowing, and she joins us here inside Pizza House. Congratulations on great personal and team and school success, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
So it might mean a little bit more to you just because I don't know if there's a sibling rivalry, but your sister was a star here. Mm-hmm. She was a champion, and she owned three school records. You didn't just break those three. You also set two others. Is there that rivalry there between two sisters?
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, me and my sister both compete a lot. We both run the hurdles, and she ran at Michigan. And, I mean, breaking her records has been an honor because she's been such an amazing – and she still is an amazing athlete. Mm-hmm. I'm just really happy to be able to break those records and compete with her in that way.
7.89 seconds. That's what she did. Yeah, the 60-meter hurdles. 7.89. I couldn't run the 60 meter in 7.89 seconds. How do you train for that?
My coach just trains me by doing multiple events. So we train at practice, doing a lot of hurdles. We do multiple. Like, we'll do 12 sometimes. We'll just have me do hurdles days, like all day. And then sometimes we do like a lot of 60 work, a lot of 200 work. So we're doing multiple event training, and he's getting me very strong so I can, you know, run through the rounds and run well through everything. So.
James Henry, 32 years, folks, 32 years at this great institution.
Yeah, Cindy, excuse me if I start asking crazy questions because I don't know a whole lot about track. But
okay.
How many hurdles are there in the 60? And I understand you run a 60 and a 100, mm-hmm. and I could ask the question, do you run on dirt? Do you run on different surfaces? So it could get crazy in here, but what about the 60?
There's only five hurdles in the 60, and then there's 10 in the 100-meter hurdles.
Okay.
So I like the 100-meter hurdles a bit better.
Why is that? Do you get in a rhythm?
It's a rhythm, but I would say for me, I like it more just because it takes me a second to get going. So I don't really have the best start. It's not bad, but it's just not like the best. My closing is very strong, so I think the 100-meter hurdles allows me to show my strength a lot more than the 60. But both are obviously my favorite, so they're fun.
Did you? This is kind of a tricky question. Did you know you broke it? I mean, when you're running that, do you feel like everything is clicking? Is there anything that enters your mind, sort of like a shooter who's dropping down 13 straight triples like Terry Mills did in the NBA? Is there a part of you that says, man, this is as good as I feel, this is as good as I get right now?
In the process of doing it, I know that I feel good. However, during the race, I wouldn't say I knew I broke it. It was a bit hard just because I was in lane 8. I didn't have the best preliminary round. Mm-hmm. And being in lane 8, I was literally just running for my life. I was by myself. I didn't really see anybody on the side of me. So I was just running, and I couldn't see anything. So when I saw that I broke it, it was even that much more emotional because I was like, wow, like I didn't guess it. I wouldn't have known. So.
Was your sister there to see it?
She wasn't, no, but I think she saw it on TV or something.
Wow. More to come, okay, because we had a ton of questions more for Cindy. So stay right there. We'll be back on Inside Michigan Basketball on the IMG Sports Network. From nearby Ypsilanti, she is a national champion. She set the school record in the 60-meter hurdles. It is the ninth best time in the NCAA, fifth best time in the world at 7.89 seconds. That is mind-blowing. She's with us here on Inside Michigan Basketball. Tell me, if you, because of that type of ability on the track, are you constantly watching what you eat? Are you constantly making sure you're counting your calories and the like?
I wouldn't say I'm counting my calories. I do make sure I'm, you know, everything in moderation for me. It's like I don't overdo things, and I make sure I don't, you know, overdo like eating sweets and eating all like the fatty carbs and whatnot. However, I just eat. I don't really focus on it too much, and I just, yeah, I love food. So.
Okay. I don't know if she'd have fit in with us when we were in Indianapolis. Ribs, cheeseburgers, fries.
Oh, no, I do all that.
You do all that? Okay. All right. What's the, I mean, is that more for long-distance people who are constantly doing that?
Okay. I would say they do that a lot more.
All right.
Sure.
Are you a long-distance person at all? I mean, do you
not at all. I get asked that. Well, I get asked what my favorite, my best mile time is. And that's a funny question to me because I never really run a mile. I've run it like twice.
Okay. So you're
not
strictly
that.
Sprints. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you chose to major in education here at the University of Michigan. Any aspirations in coaching? I mean, with all that ability that you have, I mean, you probably could show me a thing or two.
Yeah, I love to work with people. So I think that's one of the main reasons I chose to major in education, just because I love helping people. I love helping people improve in things. So coaching definitely is one of my goals, and I really would love to do that once I'm done with my collegiate or just like running aspirations. I would love to coach when I'm done running. That'd be one of
my things. We talked about the sibling rivalry. Is there a rivalry inside the team, like with Aaron Flynn, who came up as a national runner-up in the 3K, the 5K, a new school record there? She's also going to the Olympic trials and a qualifying mark.
I mean, for us, I think we just really, we feed off of each other very well. I saw Erin Flynn run her 5K the day before my race, and I will say that, or I think it was a 3K, but the girl, she's, it's so inspiring to me. Like, I love watching her run, and I think, I think it's the same way for her as well. So I think being able to, that energy feed off of each other really helps us just compete well, and we're both just, you know, we love just doing what we do.
You will be, you're going to be an Olympian, aren't you?
That is the goal. I hope so. Okay. I really do.
Now, and I think that's awesome. It is a unique twist, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will represent a team red, white, and blue, but not the United States of America. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
How does that work?
So my mother, she was born in Great Britain, and I have tried citizenship, excuse me. So my dad is Nigerian, my mom is British. I'm American, so I could have chosen to run for any country I wanted to.
Okay.
I chose to run for Great Britain because they support their athletes very well, and I ran for them this summer, and it was like the best experience of my life.
Will your sister run for them as well?
She will.
What will that be like? Will you guys compete in the same event?
Yeah, we will.
How about that?
Yeah.
Will you train together?
We actually kind of did it like that this summer. So we had the trials for the World Championships.
All right.
We trained together and we did some similar stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
How did you do against your sister?
I mean, I guess I can say she beat me, but I mean, we're both very competitive. I think I help her. I keep her on her toes, she says. So I think I help her. Make sure she's doing what she needs
to do. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
sort of like the Williams sisters competing against one another, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, in tennis.
I'd like to know how she can keep that competitive edge, you know, because her sister could probably try to soften her up a little bit. You know,
yeah,
try
especially
to tell
the older sister. Knows
slow her down a little bit.
Yeah, she probably knows a thing or two, doesn't she?
Yeah, maybe just a thing or two.
That's got to be tough on the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean, yeah, I'm sure they're proud, though. So.
Oh, well. Listen, everybody here is proud, so congratulations. I mean, just a phenomenal job. It's an honor for you to be with us here, and we wish you nothing but great success and great health. Congratulations on the success so far. Cindy Ofili, everybody, a national champion. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here from Inside Pizza House. Stay with us on Inside Michigan Basketball on the IMG Sports Network. For not having the head coach here, it's been a pretty fun show, Terry. Don't you think? Absolutely.
Yeah, yes, it has.
Especially when you get Cindy Ofili here joining us. Congrats to Aaron Flynn, James Henry, the head coach, in his 32nd year. If Cindy doesn't have some type of career in track, she could model too, right? Couldn't she? Absolutely. Really fortunate to have her there. The women, I mean, I can't get over the first... Chad Shepard gave us this information. Michigan totaled 12 All-American honors this week, and all of which were first team, top eight finishers. That's just, to me, is incredible what this track program's been able to do. What a great deal of pride. Michigan alums, anybody who's into track should be taking a look at Michigan and realizing just what's ahead. All right, what's ahead for Michigan basketball? Wednesday, taking on Tulsa in Dayton. It's a 9 o'clock jump a little bit after, so we'll be on there at 8:30, right, Tony Butler? About 8:30 or so, ready to get things rolling there against Tulsa. Let's hope it's as good as, they had in Indianapolis, because I thought they looked pretty good in Indianapolis.
I think so. I mean,
even against Purdue, when they pulled within six,
against Purdue, they did,
had a chance to get it within four. And
just some teams are just bad matchups. And Purdue, you know, with A.J. Hammonds, I mean, that's a tough matchup for anybody.
Especially when he's involved. I had a chance to talk with him after the game. Big kid, obviously. And I told him, I said, you know, when you are focused, this is while John Beilein was talking. I went in there. I congratulated Matt Painter. I talked with Vince Edwards, and I talked with A.J. Hammonds. I said, when you're focused, when you're engaged, when you're connected, you can be as good as any player, not only in this conference, but maybe in the country. If he gets hot, watch Purdue. Real quick thought from you before we get going here. Michigan State's the two seed. There's nobody else higher than a five. I thought Indiana, maybe it's their strength of schedule or the lack thereof, but to have the Big Ten outright champion be a five seed surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, it surprised me. I mean, I don't know what they go by, and we had talked about it, you know, while they're actually playing the game. So it had nothing to do with whether someone was Big Ten tournament champ or not, because it was already being selected. So, I mean, that's just tough. I mean, either they need to back those games up and make them mean something or do something.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Well, we're looking forward to calling another game, man. We get an opportunity. I can't wait for Wednesday night in Dayton, 9 o'clock jump, a little bit after. We'll be on the air at 8:30. We hope everybody can join us. For our engineer, Tony Butler, Brian Bush back in our IMG studios. I want to thank the folks in Tulsa for helping us out with the interview, Sydney for joining us here, and the national champ, Terry Mills. I'm Matt Shepard saying so long from Pizza House. Have a great week, everybody. Join us Wednesday night for the broadcast starting at 8:30 here on the Michigan IMG Sports Network.